the Lord for that. Somebody say amen. We're going to go to Proverbs chapter 15. And we're going to start, Sister Gutierrez, let's go to verse 7. Let's start verse 7. And then we'll go to verse 8 and 9. And Proverbs 15, verse 7, 8, and 9. When you have it, would you say amen? The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. Let's read this verse together. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. It's good stuff. Verse 10, correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. We skipped verse 9. I wasn't very good in math. I told you that. Took statistics three times. Verse 9. It says, Proverbs 15 and 9, it says, the way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. And I want to talk to you out of verse 8, most of that tonight. The Lord is disgusted by the gifts from the wicked, but it makes him happy when his people pray. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination, hateful and exceedingly offensive to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. I'm going to talk tonight, as you're seated, on this thought, the Lord's delight. The Lord's delight. What a delight to know and have an understanding what the Lord delights in. And we know that He delights in the prayers of the upright. Now, tonight, we're focusing on Proverbs 15, verses 8, specifically the second part where the prayers of the upright are a delight unto the Lord. And that ought to be a motive for us tonight to pray. That ought to be a motive for us tonight to talk to the Lord. But it also ought to be clarity for us to understand that in order for us to see the prayers answered like we would want them to be answered, we need to live upright and righteous before the Lord. Somebody say amen. I'm good. Thank you. Delight means desire, favor, acceptable. Delight means a high degree of pleasure or enjoyment. Proverbs, just for Bible study's sake tonight, was written by most of it accumulated and written by Solomon. It's what we would consider an anthology. The original audience was for the children of Israel, but it was put together, as we understand in Scripture, during the earlier years of King Solomon's reign. And it's filled with so many principles that are applicable to so many different areas of our life. Humanity has a way of wanting or craving things our way. We have a what we would consider lip service. We have tradition. We have no sacrifice. And these are all things that we are all aware of or have seen in other people. And even another title, if I would give this tonight a different title besides the one I gave you, would be ritualism versus relationship. And what we could understand in the Scripture tonight, what Jesus tells us in the Scripture of Matthew 15 and 8, He says, people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. We all have things that we see or do that they seem right to us. People, places, and things that seem okay. They seem justifiable. They seem perhaps they're approved or accepted by other people. You know, one thing I've learned is that you will always find someone that will agree with you if you look hard enough. Well, if you just go through enough phone numbers on your phone, you will find somebody that will say, you know, I think you're right. I think you ought to go punch somebody in the nose. You know, but you'll eventually find someone that'll justify, or condone whatever it is you're feeling. Because our feelings are the highs and lows of life, right? It could be warm and you can be in a bad mood, and then something changes and you get a letter in the mail and it says you're a multimillionaire, and then all of a sudden you're in a good mood. Your feelings change. The scripture says in Proverbs 14 and 12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You notice that it says it seemeth right. Everyday life confronts us in ways that sometimes we don't even expect or would never imagine. And God's Word is like a compass for our life. God's Word is what the Scripture would tell us in Psalm 119 and 105. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so when we're going through things of life, that's why, Pastor, I read one chapter of the book of Proverbs every single day. There's 31 chapters. There's one for every day of the month. And so I'll read one because there's just so much wisdom, so much knowledge for living and for guidance of this walk we would know with the Lord. It helps us with our spiritual character. You ever think about your spiritual character? You know, character is the features or traits. It's the reputation. I was teaching the Firm Foundation class sometime back, and I said, a character is who you are no matter who's around, no matter what the conditions are. It's your character. It's your integrity. It's and next to that, if you would put in parentheses, it is your uprightness. You know, God's character is love. 1 John 4:8 tells us that. God's character is peace. That 2 Thessalonians 3:16 tells us that. We know that God's character is holy, or holiness. That's His character. God's character is truth. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. He cannot never not be truth. In fact, the scripture tells us in Hebrews, it tells us that God does not lie. And then we know that God's character, He is a consuming fire. So this means that God can never not be peace. God can never not be love. God can never not be holy. God can never not be just, because that's who He is. He cannot be something He is not, because it's not His character to be a liar, because God, by two immutable things, and God cannot lie. He cannot be something that He is not. Proverbs 1 and 7 gives us an understanding, as I build a foundation, is that the fear or the reverence of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Sometimes we read this verse and we skip over, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And then we go on to the next verse. But notice verse 7, it says, and instruction. Fools despise instruction. That's what the Word of God says. Tell your neighbor, don't be a fool. But our scripture text tonight leads us to something this evening I want to talk to us about. It's about the prayer of the upright, or the prayer of the righteous, which is the Lord's delight. So if we know that something brings God delight, we ought to be pursuing that. You know, David, Solomon's father, built this foundation for David, and he obviously imparted something to Solomon, because David was a man of after God's own heart. And 1 Chronicles 29 and 17 says, I know also, David says, it's my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasures, or pleasure, in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. So tonight, I want us to understand that if you have a prayer life, which you should and you need to, I want you to understand that sometimes your prayers can be hindered because you're not living upright.
That's good.
You know, if you know what delights the Lord, Then it's going to make you a better believer, because you're going to go down the path that you know delights the Lord. It's like on our jobs. If you know what makes the boss happy, or if you know what his quirks are, or his preferences are, or hers, you're going to want to do those things or not do those things. It's like today's National Bosses Day. I don't know how many of you knew that or not, but it is. Sister Pinero didn't send me no flowers today. Yeah. But that's an inside joke. But it is. And there's a day for everything nowadays, I guess. but this is the day that the Lord hath made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in that. Why don't we just rejoice right now? Because it's the day the Lord hath made. He's the boss. He's always been the boss. In fact, the scripture tells us in Isaiah 45:5, I am the Lord, and there is none else. Neither is there no God beside me. I girded that though thou hast known me. Notice this. That they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. When we pray, it's to get to know the Lord. We need to know the Lord in a way that we've never known Him before. You spend time with somebody that you're interested in knowing about. Think about this. You usually don't spend time with somebody you're not interested in knowing, or you could care less about. Right? You don't hang out with your enemies, do you? You don't buy them? Well, maybe you do. You buy them Christmas presents, but when you're looking for companionship, you want to spend time with that person. You go out of your way to spend time with that person. Paul tells us in Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. We need to know Him. Do we have a desire or a passion to know Him? We say, Pastor, I'm here tonight, but you're here tonight, but are you here out of ritualism or out of relationship? Because to know means to be familiar with, to be acquainted with, to be cognizant, aware of, to perceive or understand. Psalmist tells us, Psalm 139:2, the Lord is saying, or David is saying, Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. He knows when we get up. I know folks, you know, they think that the guy with the red suit and brings the presents once a year, he knows when you've been bad or good. Well, the Lord really knows if you've been bad or good. Yeah. He's got a naughty list too. But your name could be erased from that naughty list for repentance and baptism in Jesus' name and confessing your sins to the Lord and receiving the Holy Ghost, the plan of salvation. He says, Thou compassest my lying down and art acquainted with a sum of my ways, for there are all of my ways, for there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, Lord, Thou knowest it all together. First point tonight I want to make is righteous prayer delights the Lord. Prayer is more than asking or talking. It's heartfelt communication. Communication is when you are joined or connected with somebody with expressive thoughts or feelings or information. It's where we get the root word communion from. Communion is fellowship. It's an interchange or sharing. It's an agreement. Communication is the basis of prayer as it channels the thoughts and the hearts of man to God. It's where we communicate with Him. Do you know that tears can be prayers too? Psalmist tells us that He collects our tears in a bottle. Right. Hannah was praying, and the man of God thought she was drunk because of her countenance and because she appeared as a lady in distress, but she was talking to the Lord and the Lord answered her prayer, but she was having a communication with the Lord. The prayer of the upright is God's delight. Conversation is dialogue. God created man for communion or relationship, not just for us to be a fan of Him. That's ritualism. We're not in to serving the Lord just to be a fan of the Lord. We are in this for a relationship with the Lord. When you don't have communication in a relationship, you don't have a relationship. Where there is no, well, what happened? Well, we just stopped talking. Well, why'd you stop talking? Well, she's boring. Or he won't talk. Right? All the men say amen. He won't talk. But if he gets around his buddies, he'll talk. Right? May grunt. I don't know. But marriages fail because of relationships. Friendships are broken because of no communication. But notice this. Friendships are built because of communication. And marriages are made stronger because of communication. And if we know that in the physical sense, how much more applicable is that in the spiritual sense? Where say, you know what? I need to be stronger with my walk with God. I guess I better find a place to pray for relationship with the Lord. Not out of ritualism so I can raise my hand so when pastor asks if you pray today, but I pray and I find a place to pray because it's His delight. It makes Him happy when I call on His name. It makes Him happy when I begin to pray. When I'm living upright, when I'm living righteous. It takes time to know somebody. Prayer takes time. Notice what Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17. He says, pray without ceasing. Takes time. Prayer takes time. Well, pastor, what is upright? What is righteousness? I'm glad you asked. Upright is God's people living holy and acceptable unto Him, according to His word. It's folks living right before the Lord. It's being right standing with God and right standing with your brother. Listen, it's imperative that we pray, but it's also imperative that we live before the Lord in a righteous and upright manner. That when you are living upright and you come before the Lord and pray, then the Lord will begin to answer your prayers and take you to different levels in the Spirit that you've only imagined. When you're living upright, this means that we forgive. Yeah. Matthew 6 and 9. And when ye pray, after this manner pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Notice this. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we, once in a while, before communion and foot washing, forgive our debtors. Right? Is that what it says, Brother Breon? It says, and forgive us our debts as we forget our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. That's a tongue twister. But deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Somebody say amen. But Jesus continues to tell us, notice this, in Matthew 6 and 14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Somebody say thank you, Jesus. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, somebody say oh me. Neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. The Lord's delight is when we're living upright and righteous before Him and we forgive one another and we come before Him in prayer, the Lord will answer our prayer. God will always answer the prayer of confession. Why don't we start there? Confess our faults unto the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Well, Pastor, no, does this mean that I need to carry a list of things of what I should be doing or shouldn't be doing, or do I need to ask permission for everything that I do? No. Because when you're living righteous before the Lord, the Spirit will lead you. The Spirit will guide you. We have an instruction manual. It's an open book test. We get all the answers. We apply it into our life. The Scripture says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I won't sin against it. Living righteous and coming before the Lord in an upright manner means that we're not living in a state of disobedience. Disobedience to God's word, disobedience to the man of God, disobedience to whoever's in authority. You know, we learned about submission the other night with Brother Delgado, but disobedience also can be is subjective sometimes to your feelings. Sometimes disobedience is up for interpretation for some folks. What they didn't really say. Let me give you a scripture that'll help you with living upright. Anybody want a scripture that'll help you live upright no matter what's going on? James 4:17. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's probably one of the most quoted Bible verses that I use, but it's powerful. But, Pastor, I don't like it. I don't feel like it. I don't want to. Well, disobedience is not pleasing to God. And if you want your prayers answered, live upright. Live righteous. In fact, he tells us in John 14 and 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. See, sometimes we're really good about keeping the commandments of the boss. Really good about making sure we got everything else in order, protocol at home. But the Lord says, if you love me, only if you love me, keep my commandments. Just saying. That's what the scripture tells us. The Lord's delight is that we pray and we pray before him with a righteous heart and upright. Luke 11:28 says, blessed are they that hear the word of God and they keep it. It's powerful. I want the blessings of the Lord on my life. Does anybody want the blessings of, does anybody want your prayers answered more and greater than you've ever seen before? Notice this. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. There's folks that can write a $20,000 check and they'll come and they'll say a prayer. But you know what the Lord says? That's an abomination because they're doing it out of ritual. I want folks that are going to have a relationship. They're going to come before me with an upright, with a righteous attitude. I want the holy people to come and lift hands and lift their voices and begin to pray. Let the lifting of my hands be as the evening sacrifices, oh God. Let it be my hands that are lifted up without wrath, without doubt unto you. I would everywhere that men will lift up holy hands. When we begin to pray unto the Lord, that the foundations are shook and things begin to happen in our lives because we come before him with an attitude of uprightness. The second point tonight is simply this: live upright. Now, I spent since 1999, so that's a long time. I think some folks here probably were born in 1999. But I spent in 1999, started in 1996 in criminology. But I really got more involved in 1999. And part of that was dealing with counterfeit money. Had a lot of experience with that. I could spot if I used to be able to. Somebody's going to want to test me and I probably fail miserably. But I'd be able to could spot fake passport, IDs, credit cards, checks, money, traveler's checks, all that stuff. I could spot it. Was pretty good with that in my craft. But one way and one thing we would do with our training is we would train our associates, our employees with real money. We wouldn't give them counterfeit money. We would train them with the real stuff. Because when you know what the real stuff is, it's easy to spot a fake. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, don't be fake. Right? It's easy to spot a fake. When you're used to the real stuff, it's easy to spot something that's counterfeit. It's easy. So the scripture tells us to live upright. There's a couple, you cannot fake a prayer life. It's like faking it being on a diet, right? You can't fake it, right? Somebody say amen. You can't. You can't fake, oh, I'm working out, 5 days a week, running 3 miles a day. Well, you still look like Humpty Dumpty. Don't look like it. Something wrong. You can't fake a prayer life. Tell your neighbor, don't fake it. You cannot fake a prayer. You cannot fake being upright before the Lord. You cannot fake being holy before the Lord. You can fake it to us. You can get us duped and get us saying, well, they're holy. They got it going on. But you know what? The Lord sees all. He knows all. All the things that you do in secret, you sit in your truck and do. You sit on your phone and talk about people. He sees it all. That's why some folks' prayers are not getting beyond the ceiling and beyond what they're saying is because they're not living upright before the Lord. He's not delighted in their prayers. So I said all that to tell you, sometimes it's easier to know what something is not versus what something is. Prayers of the upright is not the Lord's delight. Not living upright or righteous will not get you into heaven. Notice this. This is what somebody that is not living upright or someone that is not unrighteous is. 1 Corinthians 6 and 9 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. These are folks that are not upright or righteous. Tell your neighbor, don't be this person. Nor thieves. No stealing. No getting a water cup and then getting soda with it. Nor thieves. They're giving out your employee discount when it's only meant for you only and you signed the paper. Well, tell what I did for 20 years, right? No, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, or mischievous people. Yeah. How do you say mischievous in Spanish? Yeah, my grandma used to call me that. Nor extortioners, people that cheat others, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Well, Pastor, that's back in the day of the Corinthians, you know, and things are different now. Okay, I'll give you that. How many of you believe that we're living in the last days? Through the end, just getting to the end, right? Anybody agree with that? All right. 2 Timothy 3:1 says, "This know also," oh, I gotcha, "that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves," right? Narcissism is at an all-time high. Covetous, boasters. You see, some of the things that people we see nowadays, Bible's talking about it since before all of us were born. Proud, blasphemers. Imagine this. Disobedient to parents. How about this? Unthankful. All the thankful people say amen.
Amen.
Well, how about unholy? Without natural affection. Truce breakers. Do you know anybody like that? False accusers. Incontent. Fierce. Despisers of those that are good. There was haters back in Paul's day. Traitors. High-minded. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Notice what he says. From such, turn away. Get away from those folks. Living in the upright and living righteous and holy before the Lord, God's going to answer your prayers. But going down the path of the unrighteous, you're doomed in more ways than one. You're setting yourself up for failure. So if you know if God delights in the prayers of the upright, it's two things. Pray and be upright so God can answer your prayers. Notice Proverbs tells us again in Proverbs 10:24, "The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him. But the desires or the desire of the righteous shall be granted." Living upright means you have love. Living upright means you demonstrate love. Living upright means that you're looking to pursue the delight of the Lord. Notice Proverbs 15:9 says, He loveth him that follow after righteousness. You want to know what the Lord loves? Righteousness. Yeah. What makes God happy? Righteousness. That's why you see folks, some of the elders in the church, look, they don't move very fast. They come in and they usually stay in one place and I'm using them as an example. But you know what? They're connected to the Lord and they can ask the Lord something and the God answers their prayers. Say, well, they're not worshiping like I. Well, they did and they used to. Now they're praying and they're teaching us and they're guiding us and showing us about having a connection of living upright before the Lord and praying and the Lord answers their prayer. It's not that hard, folks. If we do what the Word of God says and we live upright and holy before Him, He'll answer our prayers.
Amen.
Following someone takes careful attention. Notice this. When the scripture says, "He loveth him that follow after righteousness," that means we have to follow after righteousness. Like we follow somebody in a car. If somebody ever tell you, "Hey, just follow me." Right? Before the days of GPS, right? Just follow me. So you get in the car and you follow them. You don't know where they're going, but they know where they're going and you trust them. You respect them. You're like, okay, I'm going to follow them. You have faith in them, so you follow them. When they turn, you turn. When they get off the freeway, you get off the freeway. You don't try to pass them up and say, well, you're driving too slow. No, too slow, Joe. Follow me. I know where I'm going. You don't. So you follow me. You follow the person that is leading you on the road to where you need to get. It's the same thing. We follow after Him. We follow His Word. We don't know where we're going, but He knows where He's going. He knows where He's taking us. So we follow Him. Follow me as I follow Christ. It's the Lord's delight. Somebody say righteousness. You can follow somebody in your car and get distracted real easy. And then you get lost. Anybody ever been lost following somebody? It's not fun. No bueno. But you get distracted real quick. It's the same thing with our walk with God. You can get distracted real quick. You can be distracted during the preaching. Thinking about, okay, he's got 3 more minutes. When he's going to be up, I got to get this done. I get that done. And you're distracted. Same thing with living upright. We got to stay connected to the Lord, His Word, and to the people of God. So we don't get distracted by all the stuff that's happening in the world and all the sin that is lurking trying to entice us. That's why Hebrews 10 and 24 tells us, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not to provoke unto hate or evil. Notice this, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Yeah, encouraging one another the closer it gets to the end time. It takes trust to follow the Lord. It takes trust to follow the pastor. It takes trust to follow the Word of God, because we don't understand everything. We don't understand sometimes things that we read, and we read it anyways, but we got to let the Spirit lead us and guide us and get interpretation or come to Bible study so pastor can break it down. But it's called trust. It's following after Him because He's leading us. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But it's trust. Proverbs 3 and 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You know that praying without having faith when you pray can be a hindrance? Hebrews 11 and 6 says, but without faith it's impossible to please Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Person that's living upright would understand that He is, and they'll diligently seek Him. So when I pray, I have faith when I pray. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that sometimes I pray for things and I'm like, oh man, they asked me to pray for it, but man, Lord, I'm kind of doubting it. Sometimes that goes through my mind. But I got to go back to the Word of God, what Mark 11, 24 says. And it says, whatsoever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and you shall have them. That ought to be a consolation to us to be upright before the Lord. Just think about your lives. What is there anything that needs to be purged out of your life that's hindering you from coming to the Lord with an upright attitude or living righteous before Him and asking Him for things? I want God to be delighted in me. I need Him to be delighted in me. We need Him to be delighted in us. That means living upright and coming before Him in prayer. Solomon tells us, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. He's telling us already, hey, there's going to be sinners that are going to try to entice you with things. If they say, come with us, let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. We shall find all precious substance. He says, my son, don't walk in verse 15. Don't walk in their path with them. Refrain from setting your foot on that path. Living upright or righteous before the Lord does not give in to sin. It refrains from sin. Isaiah 59 and 1, and Sister Ellen comes, says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Neither is His ear heavy or closed up that it cannot hear. How many are thankful for that tonight? Only a few. How many are thankful that the Lord's hand is not shortened, that He can't help us?
Amen.
But notice what Isaiah says. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. That hurts. That our sins would separate us from the Lord. If you're here tonight and you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, I encourage you to get baptized in Jesus' name. Get your sins washed away. Repent of your sins. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. If you're here tonight and you've fallen, and you know what? Get back up one more time than it is when you fall. Don't stay down. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. I'm going to get back up. If I've fallen, I'm getting back up. I'm going to live upright before the Lord. Psalmist says, O thou art my God, early will I seek thee. Notice this. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Psalmist tells us in Psalm 149:4 as we stand tonight, for the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. The Romans tells us that if God be for us, who can be against us? God takes pleasure in his people. He delights in the prayers of the upright. There's going to be affliction. There's going to be trouble. There's going to be frustrations. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, and the Lord delivereth them out of all. The righteous have affliction. You're living upright. He'll deliver you from them all. So that ought to be an encouragement to us tonight. To live upright, to live holy, to live righteous before the Lord, to purge things out of us that needed to be purged. It will say, Pastor, well, what are you talking about? Well, start with James 4:17. That's a good place to start. Him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Anybody want to draw closer to God tonight? Anybody need your prayers to be answered? Want your prayers to be answered? I preached this evening because on the 27th, Brother Hernandez is going to be here. And I want us to prepare the way for miracles, signs, and wonders. I want God to do some things. I need God to do some miracles in my life. There's some things that we need God to do, and he's going to do it in this building. And we need to prepare ourselves. We need to make sure that we're living upright and we're living righteous so God can answer our prayer. Anybody want a miracle? Anybody need a miracle? You need God to do something? Hey, it's going to start with a righteous heart and a righteous mind. If you want God to do more for you, I want you to come to the altar. I want you to talk to the Lord tonight. If you need God to move some things out of your way and change some situations, I want you to come tonight. I want you to pray and begin to purge and begin to prepare your hearts for God to do something. Bless. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, if you want to draw closer to God, if you don't want to draw closer to Him, I understand. But if you're interested in drawing closer to God, if you want God to answer your prayers, if you want to live upright before the Lord, would you come? I understand that everybody wants to live upright. I understand that everybody wants the Lord to answer their prayers. But if you fall into that category, you want God to answer your prayers, you want to live upright, I invite you to lift your voice and lift your hands wherever you are and just begin to pray, oh God, help me draw closer to you, oh God. Draw nigh unto Him. He'll draw nigh to you tonight. I need you tonight, God. I gotta have you, oh Lord, more today than ever before, God. I need, God, the Holy Ghost to move and to purge and to bless, God, to deliver, to forgive, to save, oh God. That's it, all around the sanctuary. He delights in our prayer. He delights in His people. You're His people tonight. Before the Lord with thanksgiving. You're the people of God tonight. Come on. We're going to see miracles. We're going to see God do things. Folks are going to be filled with the Spirit. We're going to walk in dominion. We're going to be strengthened.